Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lentz, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael's second sermon in his three-part series where he's teaching in Matthew chapters 23 and 24 called, What Will Be the Sign of Your Coming?
So we're looking at the Olivet Discourse, the famous teaching of Jesus in Matthew 24, and it's not just Matthew 24, it actually extends into Matthew 25. It is one teaching. Scholars would say when you look at this teaching, you need to look at it all the way to the end of chapter 25, which I think is 46 verses. So in there, Jesus will teach the parable of the 10 virgins. He'll teach the parable of the talents. And then he will paint a picture of him seated on a throne. And I think you all remember this. And he divides the sheep and the goats. That's all part of this teaching. So we tend to sometimes think of the Olivet Discourse or this end times kind of teaching as just limited to a few things. But it's actually a pretty wide teaching. And that's why I would submit to you that wherever you land on the early part of the teaching in terms of whether it's future or past or a combination thereof, there's no doubt that what Jesus teaches here has to do with the future, our future. And of course, that's always relevant to us, right? We're living now. We're looking at the world now. We know what's going on in the Middle East. We know what's happening between Ukraine and Russia. We know we're on the heels of another critical election. And every time we come to an election, we say, it's the most critical election of our lifetime. And this one may be. There's a lot at stake and a lot going on. And, you know, it does have to do with, decisions that are made in some of the highest places and the need for wisdom. And we'll pray about that in a moment. But I also want you to see something that we need to avoid. And it's this, that when we read this discourse in Matthew 24, we've got to understand the audience, the immediate audience that Jesus spoke it to, and the genre, which is a combination of what's called apocalyptic and prophetic wording or literature. So once we understand the immediate audience and the genre, that will help us at least partially remove it out of a Western grid where we're trying to read something that Jesus said in the first century and apply it to the headlines that we would find in America today. Now, it may have relevance as it relates to that, and there is a lot of crazy stuff going on, and we have seen the return of Israel to the land in many of our lifetimes. I was talking to a lady at the end of first service, and I had mentioned 1967 when Israel, remember, they became a nation again in 48, but they recaptured control of Jerusalem in 1967. And that is an interesting thing to think about, because in the typical futurist view of Matthew 24, you couldn't have an any moment return of Jesus prior to 1967. You say, why, Pastor Michael? Simply this, because in the pre-trib dispensational viewpoint, you have to have a rebuilt temple and an antichrist going into the temple, proclaiming to be God, a peace agreement between him and Israel, etc. And of course, even with the interesting occurrence of Israel being back in the land, we couldn't have had an any moment return of Jesus in that scheme prior to 1967. So that's just something to think about. You couldn't have imminency or an any moment return prior to that. So that's like 1900 years of church history, and that's something just to think about as it relates to your view. Now, you'll look up there and you'll see that it's Matthew 24, 1 through 13, and that was my goal. And I was joking with the guys in the back that I over-prepared, because that's pretty much what I always do. And I made it at first service to verse 2. No, I'm just kidding. I made it to verse 8, okay? So I think because of the significance of what we're looking at and the fact that we don't have to rush, I would rather slow down and not try to bite off more than we can chew, because there's a lot to process and there's a lot to look at. Because I'm going to be sharing with you different views and why those views are held. And I'm also going to get into history today, and I'm going to tell you about the first century history around these events. And so I don't want to rush just for the sake of getting to a certain verse, because it doesn't serve us well. And, you know, this has been debated because it is we might call difficult territory. So why don't we do this? If you're able to stand, let's stand to our feet. We're going to read Matthew 24. We're going to read the first 8 verses together, and then we'll go back and break it down and we'll pray. Jesus came out from the temple, Matthew 24:1, and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. He said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. That would be just to the eastern part of the Temple Mount. So not a far distance to the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him. He was sitting, so that's kind of the position of a teacher. They came privately. There's 4 of them. We'll look at that in a moment. They said, "Tell us, when will these things happen?" That's the question that I would have if Jesus just said the temple is going to be destroyed. "And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" The King James says the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ.'" That's another word for the Messiah. "And will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." You can have a seat. Well, Father, as we come before your holy word, and this is the word of God, we come with reverence and humility and awe. And one thing we don't want to miss is that this was a prophecy that was at least partially fulfilled in the first century, and it's a tremendous prophecy. It's a detailed prediction that came to pass about 40 years after Jesus spoke it. And that is powerful, and it is another evidence that Jesus is who he said he was, and the Bible is inspired by God. And yet, this discourse, maybe like few others, has raised many questions about the what and the when and all that goes with that. And we look at our world today, Lord, and we see what's happening, and we know that people have been talking about World War III, and we know what that would mean with modern weaponry and how scary that could be. That prospect is really, we'd have to admit it's frightening. But yet you told us not to be afraid. You told us that we can trust you. And we don't want to live in a spirit of fear, Lord. So whatever we may be thinking about or wrestling through, help us to be at peace because we have peace with you if we're in Christ. Help us to trust you with our present and our future. But we do want to be good students of Scripture. We want to be as prepared as we can be, and we want to know the Word of God, and we want to rightly divide the Word of truth, so we don't need to be ashamed. So today, as we get into the detail of this incredible teaching that you gave, Lord, give us understanding, give us ears to hear what you would say to your church at this hour, that we might apply the principles and have good understanding of what you're trying to say. We love you. We lay this time at your feet in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Now you can see in Matthew 24, in verse 1, to backtrack for a moment, that Jesus came out from the temple. There he had given that scathing woe, woe, woe to the scribes and Pharisees, and he told them that they were going to be responsible for all the righteous blood, Matthew 23:35, by way of review, from Abel all the way to the last martyr in the Hebrew Bible, Zechariah, the son of Berechiah. He said, "Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." And he was talking about the blood guilt that he had mentioned in the previous verse. He then cried out to Jerusalem, and he talked about how many times God had sent prophets, etc., and even his own son, of course, whom they were about to kill. And he lamented how they kill the prophets and so forth, and how often he wanted to gather them to himself, verse 37, yet they were unwilling. He proclaimed a desolation on their house, that their house would be left desolate, and this would be a reference to the temple. And then he made that final statement in verse 39, "You won't see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what the people were saying at his triumphal entry. They were quoting Psalm 118, I think it's verse 26, Hosanna to the Son of David, claiming to him to be Messiah. And essentially he says to the leadership of that day, unless you do the same, you will not see me again. You'll see me, but it'll be in judgment. It won't be for me to welcome you into the kingdom of God. And so that's where we've been. And then as Jesus leaves the temple, he's going out from the temple, going away. His disciples wanted to point out the impressive stones and buildings within that temple. And then he said something shocking, because remember, the temple had been, they had been working on it for so long, and it finally was completed in AD 63, 7 years before the fall of Jerusalem.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
We are in the holiday season. Families and friends will soon be preparing for a Thanksgiving feast with football playing in the background. Friends will gather around the table for delicious turkey, complete with stuffing, cranberry sauce, creamed corn, and mashed potatoes. Don't forget about the sweet pumpkin pie. You express your thankfulness for your family, friends, church, your hobby, work, and everything the Lord provides. And after all the conversation and fun games, a food coma will follow. Thanksgiving is truly a wonderful day. We appreciate you spreading the word about our program and praying for our ministry. We are forever thankful to our Walk in Truth financial partners too. The Lord is using you to help keep this broadcast and podcast reaching people daily on this radio station and around the world. Pastor Michael Lance and the team here at Walk in Truth are sincerely grateful you are listening to this broadcast, and we hope you have a happy and blessed Thanksgiving.
Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
And then he said something shocking, because remember, the temple had been, they had been working on it for so long, and it finally was completed in AD 63, 7 years before the fall of Jerusalem. And just so you have a time marker, I think the majority of scholars believe that Jesus dies in AD 30. There's a little debate and a little wiggle room of a couple years there. But let's just, for simplicity, let's just say Jesus dies in AD 30 and the temple is destroyed in AD 70. And you know how much talk there is about the timing of a biblical generation when we talk about end times teaching. 40 years is typically what you hear. So it's just interesting to put in your pocket from the time that Jesus spoke this and then died and resurrected to the fall of Jerusalem was a biblical generation. So just keep that in mind. So Jesus talks about how there won't be one stone left upon another that will not be torn down. And then as they moved towards the Mount of Olives, you could imagine that the disciples had all kinds of questions, you know, flowing through their mind. And they asked him the question I think we'd all ask. The disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will these things happen?" In context, there is no doubt they're talking about the destruction of the temple. That's what he's just mentioned in verse 2. These things, no doubt, connect directly to that. And what will be the sign of your coming? Now, there's two ways to take this second part. The second part could be the sign of your coming in judgment. Here we have the advantage of knowing what happened through the armies of Rome. Or what will be the sign of your coming as in the future second coming, i.e. the end of the world? So that's where the question lies. And you can see your coming in the end of the age. If you're interested, that's the Greek word aion. I think it's A-I-O-N. And the King James has it as the rendered as the end of the world. But it's in Greek, it's the end of the aion. It's the end of the age. And the debate becomes, what age is being discussed? Is the question about the end of the world? Now, if the question is about the end of the world, then there's two parts to the question. One, when will the temple go down? Because if you're a first century apostle, that's pretty much all you're thinking about, right? If he just said this structure where all the worship of Israel goes on, where all the feasts happen, etc., is going to go down, when will it happen? And what would I look for to know it's about to happen so I can exit stage left? Amen? I can get out of town. I mean, that I would be thinking in very pragmatic terms, like, you know, how do I spare myself and my family the horror of that kind of desolation of the temple? There is absolutely no doubt about the fact that that is the direct question that they're asking. And before we move on, and I'm going to show you some parallel accounts, let me remind you that this discourse is in Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13, called the Synoptic Gospels, Luke 21. And then there are some people who are preterists that believe that most of this, if not all of it, is about the past, that believe Revelation is John's version of the Olivet Discourse. And I had someone else come up to me after first service and say, how could someone think that the book of Revelation is John's version of Matthew 24, 25 when it was written in 95 after the fall of Jerusalem? And something you need to know is that those who are in the preterist, that's all happened in the past camp, believe that the proper date of the book of Revelation is AD 65, 5 years before the temple was destroyed. Otherwise, Revelation could not be a prediction about the fall of Jerusalem. Are you with me? And in fact, there's a school of scholarship that believes that every New Testament book was written before 70 AD. Revelation, John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John all predate the fall of Jerusalem. Now, that is critical for that view, because if you believe Revelation is about the fall of Jerusalem, then you have to have it before 70 AD. And of course, there's a debate, and I won't bore you with the details, but there's a group that believes it should be 90 to 95 AD. But keep in mind that John would have been a really old dude by then. You know, and if in AD 30, John is one of the apostles, let's say John's 20. Well, from AD 30 to 95, John would be like 90, 85, 95 years old, something like that. So that's why this is at least worth some of your side study if you want to look at some of the debates about the dating of New Testament books. You know, that's there. Let me remind you of the three major views of the end times, and specifically as it relates to this Matthew 24 teaching. Futurism teaches that most, if not all, of Matthew 24 is future to us. It has to do with a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, a peace treaty with the Antichrist and Israel, him going in there claiming to be God, and last day's events unfolding largely in the future to us Middle East. And so this is often called dispensationalism. That's a big word, but it just is kind of was captured by a guy named Darby in the 1800s, and then it migrated into what's called the Scofield Study Bible, where the notes were there. And that's what a lot of people read in America, and it moved into places like Dallas Theological Seminary, and it became the dominant view in America to hold a futurist view of Matthew 24, Revelation, etc., and to see that we'd be looking for a rebuilt temple and some charismatic world leader that would make a peace treaty, etc. I think you've all probably heard that view many, many times. It may be the only view that you've ever heard before. And that's futurism. Matthew 24 is about the future, largely under the canopy of dispensationalism. But even with that view of futurism, there's been different views about the timing of the rapture of the church. Some have been pre-trib, thinking that the last 7 years is the tribulation or a portion of it. It's often called Daniel's 70th week. And I know I'm giving you a lot of information. I'm assuming that you guys have at least heard some of this. So people say that last week in Daniel 9 has been on hold, and it will eventually come to us. And when it does, these will be the scenarios. And some people hold the pre-trib view. Before any of this goes crazy and it gets really ugly, the church will be taken out. And if I had a view that I could vote for, I would vote for the pre-tribulational view. But last I checked, God's not counting my votes for anything.
You've been listening to What Will Be the Sign of Your Coming, Message 2, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Matthew 24, 3 through 13. If you missed any part of today's program, Walk in Truth is on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Listen for free to Pastor Michael's teachings in more books of the Bible. We would also love to hear from you. You can email Pastor Michael with your questions you may have from his teachings today, or maybe you have a question about something else, or need encouragement, or prayer. Maybe you'd like to share how Pastor Michael's teachings have affected you. You can email Pastor Michael at contact@walkintruth.com. That's contact@walkintruth.com. You can also find our mailing address on walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, as the disciples asked Jesus about when the temple would be destroyed and what would be the sign of his coming and the end of the age, Jesus began to give them things that he called the beginning of birth pangs or the beginning of sorrows. If you follow the verses, he says, be careful that you're not misled. He talks about false Christs coming in his name and claiming that they were the Christ. He gives us things to look at that in the past I've gone verse by verse and compared with Revelation chapter 6, and I think that's a great study. He talks about hearing of wars and rumors of wars, but then he says to them, this is not yet the end, or the end is not yet. As you move through this, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in various places, these are all things that Jesus said signal that it's the beginning of birth pangs, but not yet the end. And what we've brought out several times as we've taught through Matthew 24, the beginning part is the end of what? That's a question that lingers over this whole discourse. It's really the debated topic. It's really, you know, it's as we did the first message and I chronicled all the false predictions and date settings, it's where we've gotten it wrong. Frankly, the church has ended up many times with egg on our face. We're batting 000. And we've got to make sure that we take a sober look at this. We understand the audience. We understand how that they would hear this message. And we understand context and even history. So that's what we're going to do as we move through 24. And remember that Jesus says this is just the beginning of birth pangs. The end is not yet. And so sometimes you hear end times prophecies. Maybe you've seen some movies and so forth, and it gets you kind of uptight or whatever. I would just say just calm down and be at peace because our lives are in God's hands. Here's an application. If we are busy about God's business one day at a time, we don't have to worry about all these things. Jesus said, don't even worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough trouble of its own. Just live for me today. I think that's the biggest challenge for most of us as Christians. It's not about pinning the tail on the Antichrist, whoever that may be, if that's in our future. It's not about date setting. It's about living for him today. That's hard enough. Amen. It's about living for the king and the kingdom today. That's the focus. Tomorrow will take care of itself. In fact, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one who holds tomorrow. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus as your king, as your savior, as your Lord? Have you grabbed hold of eternal life? Received the free gift of the king? You know, he offered it by shedding his blood, by coming down on a rescue mission. And what he asks of you is to take him at his word, to believe what he did for you at the cross and through the resurrection, and to know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's still saving people. Cry out to him. Ask him, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I turn to you through Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you for sending your son. Teach me how to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Remember, you're saved by grace. It's a gift, but you have to accept it. You have to receive it. And then once you have it, your life becomes really a thank you note to God. It means you start walking with him. Hey, if we can help you in any way, we'd love to hear if you open your heart to the Lord or maybe rededicated your life. And we'd like to be helpful to get a Bible into your hands or maybe help you find a good local church. We have a number that you can call. It's 844-48-TRUTH. You can call that during normal business hours, about 9 to 4, Tuesday through Friday, Pacific time. That's 844-48-TRUTH. We've had several listeners take advantage of that, get some prayer, get some encouragement. 844-48-TRUTH. We'll be back tomorrow to do a part two of this message. God bless you.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a monthly Walk in Truth partner or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's second sermon in Matthew 24 called, What Will Be the Sign of Your Coming?
King James, I think, is the only version that has the end of the world. And that is significant. You say, why, Pastor Michael? Here's why. Because in preterism, believing this was fulfilled in the past, they believe the close of the age is the close of the old covenant age. Jewish rabbis and scholars believe that there was a pre-messianic era before Messiah and a post-messianic era. And it all had to do with Jerusalem and the temple, etc.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.